Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering Game of Thrones, Season 5, Episode 5, Kill the Boy, and Season 5, Episode 6, Unbowed, Unbent, Unbroken. I was trying to do it off the top of my head.
Yeah. Unbowed, Unbent, Unbroken. Say that three times fast.
I'm just not going to.
Sure. Sure you can.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well...
So we have our.
Why did you take a sip there? It's your part.
I thought you were gonna talk.
No, I wasn't.
So we are going to have our usual caveats and disclaimers because we're having both today. Because I feel like having both today.
Mom, don't point it out. Just say one or the other. That's all I want. You not being like, it's disclaimers today. It's caveats today. No, just say one and get it over with. Or say both and get it over with. I don't care. I was just pointing it out to you that one time.
Talking. So let's talk. And those include that there's going to be cursing. There's going to be arguments, in case you are wondering. There will be spoilers, and we are having things to drink. What are you having to drink?
I'm having lemon ginger tea. It's a rainy day. I don't have class. They've been canceled, so tea.
Tea, that makes sense. I'm not being a good girl today. I was gonna be like all dry January-esque and whatever, but because of the world, I am having a really interesting combination. I didn't think this was gonna be as interesting as it is, but it not only looks weird, I don't know if you can see it.
I don't know what I'm working at.
So this is Kahlua, a tiny bit of Goldschlager, and eggnog. Goldschlager being cinnamon, it actually works really, really well. It looks weird because the eggnog is so dense. It doesn't really blend, or it doesn't visually blend with the Kahlua the way a Kahlua and cream would. So it looks like it's marbled. It's kind of cool. I kind of like it. I like the way it tastes, definitely, but I am fascinated entirely that this looks the way that it does, because it's kind of like misty at the bottom. It's kind of cool. Anyway, so we are going to proceed. What are the sections for Kill the Boy? Kill the Boy, like kill the spare.
The sections are the Night's Watch, Boat, Marine, and Winterfell. We're in very few places this episode, but we're in them for a while.
Yes. Yes.
Where do you want to start?
I've got a little bit of Marine, too. Yeah.
I said Marine.
Marine's pretty bleh. We want to do Marine?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So Marine, we've got Grey Worm sick in bed because he was so badly injured.
Okay. He's not sick. He was stabbed.
He's recovering. He's recovering in bed. Missandei is crying at his bedside. Daenerys is not crying, but is by Barristan's.
She cries eventually in this scene.
Yeah, where his body is laid out. And the Daario and Hizdahr, I guess, is the.
I don't know his name. I don't care to know his name. He's just rich dude.
Rich dude, go to. Discuss with Daenerys what the plan's going to be. Like, how are we going to deal with these Sons of the Harpy? And Daario's suggestion is we should go street by street and just kill them. You know, we're going to just go street by street and kill the Sons of the Harpy. And Hizdahr is like, no, we really shouldn't do that. But then Daenerys is like, nope, I liked the first idea. The first idea is that we get the leaders of each of the great houses, and essentially her idea, I think, is to kill them. And so he's like, wait, Hizdahr is like, wait, I'm the head of a great house. What are we doing here? And she's like, nope, we're doing that. So she takes them all into the bowels of the pyramids in which the dragons are staying, and forces them at spear point toward the chained dragons. One of them, Daario, pushes forward the child dragons then burn this person and eat him. The others are scared. I can't imagine why. And so then Hisdar, Daenerys like walks up on Hisdar and is like kind of stroking him, like, you know, maybe we should do this to all the people, make the dragons decide who's innocent and who's guilty. And while Hisdar feels threatened, he says Vala Morghulis, and she's like, oh, that shows some bravery, all right. And she decides to let him live for the moment. We then go to Grey Worm, who awakes and sees Missandei. The first thing he does, and this is so sweet, he asks about Barristan. And he's crying because he feels like he failed, and he failed his people. And it turns out that he's ashamed because he was afraid when he got stabbed. And Missandei doesn't fully understand, but the thing he was afraid of was that he would never see Missandei again. And she cries and kisses him and kind of spoons him, and it's very sweet. Then we have Dany and Missandei discussing how Dany should govern, because she is just that person. She goes to people, but she doesn't want to listen to them. And Missandei kind of reinforces that. Like, she's like, look, I've seen you listen to your people and make mistakes. I've seen you make mistakes on your own, but usually you do best when you see something that no one else can see and do it your own way. And Daenerys is like, okay, cool. So she then decides to go to Hisdar, who is still locked up in a cell. And she says, you know, I'm going to reopen the fighting pits and you're going to marry me so we can form alliance. And that's basically Meereen.
See, I don't agree with Daenerys' idea in the slightest. Like, she's just giving the masters what they want.
It's idiotic. Absolutely.
It's so fucking, especially the marriage part. Like, what the fuck? Like, do you want to be married to him? Just put him on a council, which he's already on. Like, I mean, yeah. I don't add another master to the council and then see how things go. Like, don't just give him everything he wants. She does make the stipulation that the fighting pits will only be open to free men, but there's no way of enforcing that, is there? So I don't understand why she's just giving into all of this pressure when you hold the upper hand. Like, yeah. You're just kind of like, all right, well, I'm not going to listen to anybody. So I'm just, this is my idea and it's fucking stupid. Well, I don't understand why she thinks that.
Yeah, when she's talking to Missandei, she even points out, you know, Barristan had counseled Mercy all along, even up to the day he died, and I didn't listen to him, and maybe I should have. And so I think she's trying to do this in honor of Barristan in some way. Like,
that's like fucking stupid, though. He wouldn't want that.
Right? She thinks that this is a way that they would resolve things in Westeros, like make an alliance. It's kind of a Cersei thing, you know, like, yeah, I'll make a lot of people and then I'll just,
you're not ruling the way they do in Westeros, and that's,
you're not ruling a place, that's the whole point. Yeah, it's not Westeros. All the right. Culture is different. So anyway.
You want to go to boat?
Yeah, boat short.
Since you took the lead on Meereen, I'll take the lead on boat. I have a couple of quotes that I, and well, actually no, there's only one quote. The other quote
there's from the next episode. Good.
So Tyrion is talking to Jorah while they're paddling along, and Jorah's not talking all that much. So Tyrion just says long sullen silences and an occasional punch to the face, the Mormont way. Yeah, I love that.
That is brilliant.
Tyrion is finally sobering up and he hates it and he's begging for wine, and Jorah's just like, no, I'm not going to do that. They are going to travel through the ruins of old Valyria. And Jorah mentions he isn't afraid of the dark, what was it called? The deep,
doom. the doom that governs
the deep. Valyria. Sorry, yeah, we've been watching the Boys on Amazon Prime.
If you haven't watched it, you should watch it.
If you're okay with gore and a lot of sex, I mean, it's kind of worse in that regard than Game of Thrones.
Absolutely,
oddly enough. We hear about Valyria being the best place in the world, but then it just suddenly wasn't because of the sickness or the, what was it?
The doom.
Sorry, I was about to say the deep again.
Like Dr. Doom.
Okay, they Tyrion sees Drogon, who's just kind of flying by.
He freaking huge, by the way.
Yeah, he is. So are the other ones. But then Tyrion sees the dragon for the first time flying over old Valyria. But while they're kind of distracted by that, like, Jorah's like kind of used to seeing the dragons, but he's still kind of in awe because it reminds him of Daenerys. And then they get attacked by stone men, who are the rabid versions of the people who let Grayscale go too far. And they all kind of like, they're all sent to old Valyria, where the doom, which was Grayscale, just ran through and like just killed everybody, or it's basically turned them a leper into colony. The stone men. Yeah, it's a leper colony.
Look Jorah for him in the Valley of the Lepers. Sorry, Jorah, I'm quoting Ben-Hur. I have to do
I know
it.
You
I'm
are, sorry. Mom. We're not talking about Ben-Hur.
Fine.
It's been him. Anyway, Jorah warns Tyrion not to let the stone men touch them, because that's how Grayscale gets, you can contract Grayscale through skin to skin, not necessarily clothes and skin. It's weird. But I also made a note of, I kind of wish.
It can be dolled in skin? I'm sorry. Keep going.
I don't know. We don't know how it was initially transmitted, so I'm not sure. Anyway, prolonged exposure to skin, I think, is one of the main things. Anyway, I put a note, and I wrote down this note of, I kind of wish they didn't go rabid. They were just lonely assholes who wanted more company in the ruins. Like, I mean, how many lepers are there left, honestly? Like, they might just
everybody be lonely. Does. Everybody hurts. Sometimes.
I didn't talk during your section. Tyrion gets thrown overboard and dragged down by the stone men, but gets saved by Jorah magically. I don't know. Tyrion wasn't touched, and Jorah says he wasn't either. They have to walk now until they find a village. Jorah actually got touched and has Grayscale appearing on his arm now. So he was lying that entire time. Okay. Like, why didn't you just tell the truth, dude? I mean, I guess that would kind of ruin the vibe, but still.
Then it would also warn Tyrion not to touch you.
Exactly. I mean, he's being kind of careful, Jorah is, but I don't know.
He was touched weird. In a weird spot. It's kind of like on the inside of his wrist. So
I also am not sure if it has to be the Grayscale part of you that touches somebody, or if it's just your skin in general, especially as it's starting to spread. I'm not sure, since the stone men are covered in it completely, it doesn't really matter. But for Jorah, I don't know if there are rules. I don't know. Anyway, do you want to go to the Night's Watch?
Yeah, let's do the Night's Watch. Let's go to Castle Black, people. This is going to be fun. Well, it's going to be more fun than Winterfell. Let's put it that way. So Sam is reading a scroll about Daenerys freeing the slaves and refusing to leave Slaver's Bay until she can secure the slaves being free going forward. And he's reading this scroll to Maester Aemon, who is not feeling well, but he's just so upset that he hears the only other Targaryen. And he talks about, she's a Targaryen alone in the world. It's a terrible thing. She has no one to guide her. She might do something crazy, is basically the suggestion that we get from that.
Well, I mean, he's not wrong.
He's not. Now,
she lost a single advisor and then makes this dumbass decision. He's not wrong.
No, well, and let's add that he's getting the advertised, two-line punch it meme that is Daenerys right now, free your slaves. He's not getting any of the negatives or craziness that is actually going on in Meereen, so he doesn't know like that there have been riots and Sons of the Harpy killing people, and he doesn't know any of that. So Jon comes in to see Maester Aemon and asks Sam to leave, which is kind of the exception rather than the rule. Usually you see Jon talking with Sam present. And John explains to Maester Aemon, he wants his advice. He's like, look, I want to give an order. I'm worried because I think, half the Night's Watch is going to want to kill me afterwards. And Maester Aemon's like, they want to kill you now.
Like, that half already wants to kill you. You might as well just make the decision.
Exactly. And he doesn't even know what the decision is, but he's like, kill the boy. Let the man that you are come to fruition.
Be born.
And John's just really impressed that, like, Maester Aemon's trusting him that much. But I think what Maester Aemon's point is, like, you're going to fuck up some. You're going to have to live with the consequences of your fuck-ups. I mean, people aren't going to be happy with everything you do. But this is what he wants to do. He goes to meet with Tormund. And because this is part of his torment, he's like, I want to get the free folk. I want to go get them and bring them inside the wall. Because when these fuckers attack the wall, we need their help. These fuckers being the White Walkers.
He makes a good argument, though, because his main the crux of his argument, especially to the people who want to see them dead, is that if they don't let them through the wall, you could just add them to the army of the dead and it's going to be even stronger. So I don't it's a fair point.
That is the point he makes when he actually talks to the men about this order. But when he's talking to Tormund.
Oh, sorry. I skipped ahead.
Yeah, that's OK. He is talking to them about look, can you lead them? Can you bring them into the fold? And Tormund's like, well, they're not going to kneel. And John's like, I don't want them to kneel. I just want them to fight on our side when the time comes. Because Tormund's kind of like, well, but you know, they don't want to fight for you. And you see here that, and I put it in all caps, the real fight John gets. He's like, look, it's either they fight with us or the White Walkers get them. One way or the other. So that's all there is. And they need to be south of the wall before the walkers come. Tormund releases Tormund. Tormund says that most of them are going to be at Hardhome, but they need ships to get them back. And he wants John to come with him. He's like, look, they aren't going to trust that you will actually let them through the wall if you don't come with me. So you need to come with me. John tells the Night's Watch the plan, and a bunch of people, including some of the best of them, Ed, they're pissed. They're pissed because like Gren and Pip were killed. And John, you're right, has an excellent point. It's like either we live with them or add them to the army of the dead, because the dead are coming. And after this, John's in his quarters and Ollie comes in with his dinner and he's all sulky. And he's like, it's a trick. You're just going to kill them all, right? And John's like, no, winter's coming. I know what's coming with it. And of course, Ollie doesn't. And a lot of these people who have not been north of the wall don't. And he's like, we can't face it alone. And in this conversation, and I love the way John delivers this. I love the way Kit Harington delivers this, because it made me question, it's like, how would Ned have handled this? Like, here you are south of the wall. You've never seen a White Walker. If he had lived, would he have had the ability to let these people through?
He definitely would.
I think he would too. I think he
I think if he saw the army of the dead and all that shit that goes with it, he absolutely would.
Right. Like if Benjen came to him and said, oh fuck.
Well, Benjen did come to him about that. And he did talk to him about it. And of course he gave some of the people in the dungeons to go to the Night's Watch and all that stuff. He even gave his own bastard son. I just think that if he actually saw it with his own eyes, like John has, I think that definitely would have added to it. But yeah, especially with these people, even though the wildlings are really well aware that this is something they need to get away from, I think that they're still hesitant to trust the people who have slaughtered them for years, which is fair. And Ollie, obviously, it's a reasonable thing to be afraid of and hateful towards the people who killed your parents, who killed all of the people you've ever known, essentially. And so, it makes sense why it's such a divisive decision. It just, for some of these people, it's just kind of like, come on, man, just let the children through. I mean, come on.
Do something.
Do you want to have more of an army of the dead? Do you want help? Do you no one else is helping you. If you, even though Sam has sent up to all of the lords in Westeros, hey, we need your help, we need your men, they're not going to do it. Like, it's they don't know it. They don't care. They care about their own shit, and they have all of that going on in their lives. This is your life. You're the ones they're going to hit first after the wildlings if you don't let them through. And they're just going to be even stronger after the wildlings if you don't let them through. So do you want to put aside your pride? It's not like the it's unlikely that once they convince the wildlings to come through that they're going to attack you. So just kind of, it's honestly more likely that they just run off. But I mean, either way, it's less people in the army of the dead. You just kind of have to go with it.
Right. And the north is pretty darn big. They can go and do some shit and you might never see them again.
Later on, Gilly's on her stupid shit again. Sam vocalizes
the library. So many books.
Is this all of the books in the world? And Sam vocalizes how he is book smart, but she is street smart. And she's just like, I know how to cook and clean. I'm just like, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about survival skills, but okay. Those are helpful, I guess. It's not like he's trying to put you in a woman's role, Gilly. That's not it at all. He's just trying to say, hey, you're smart in other ways that I'm not. But of course, she doesn't take it that way because she's a fucking dumbass. Stannis knows Sam's father who defeated Robert. It was the only battle that Robert lost, especially during the rebellion, because he went to the Reach too soon or something like that, and they weren't ready for the forces that Randall Tarly had waiting for them. Sam talks about the dragon glass he used to kill the White Walker. Stannis mentions there's some on Dragonstone that will be important later.
Yes.
Davos is willing, but Stannis comes in and says it's time to go. We're not going to wait for the wildlings to come, or like wait for Jon to convince the wildlings to then be let through and then try to recruit them again. He's just going to leave for the Boltons to Winterfell so that they just don't lose precious time.
He's not leaving the Boltons to Winterfell. He is going to go attack them at Winterfell because he knows they're coming for him.
Yeah, that's what I meant. They are bringing Selyse and Shireen along with them because this is the perfect place for them. Before they leave, Davos talks to Shireen. There's a really cute moment where he says, "When the battle comes, promise you'll protect me," and she says, "Of course I will." And then Jon sees Stannis off.
Yeah, Selyse is just like a complete dick, and she's like, won't even let them talk to each other.
Big shocker. I mean, she's an awful person. I want her to go away.
Yeah, but he does see the army set off. And again, you know, they set off in the snow, and the road looks very different than when Jon came up the road before. So it's kind of a cool shot.
All right, so Winterfell. This is including Brienne and Podrick. Brienne and Podrick are at an inn overlooking Winterfell. Podrick says, maybe Sansa's better off there. But Brienne's like, no, she's not. She's with the Boltons who killed her family. No. Brienne asks one of the innkeepers or whatever, asks him if he knew Ned, and he said yes. And Brienne wants to get a message to Sansa, and she's like, hey, what side are you on, dude? And he's looks at her with a significant look. So, I mean, I guess he's on their side now.
He's a Stark man.
Then we go over to Miranda, who is naked and sulking about Sansa and how Ramsay was supposed to marry her. But Ramsay's like, but I'm a Bolton now. I can't just marry a kennel master's daughter. I can still fuck you, and don't you dare bore me because I will kill you and go on a hunt.
The way I describe this, Miranda is having post-coital sulking at the window.
That's good. Ramsay's main thing is making sure his relationships aren't quote-unquote boring, aka healthy. because he just wants to ruin everything he fucking touches and fucks. And it's just, it's so bad. Sansa's in a room sulking, and the maid comes in, the nice maid, the North Remembers maid. She comes in and tells Sansa that she has friends in the North, and if she is ever in trouble, she should go light a candle in the window of the tallest tower. Considering this, Sansa goes to the tallest tower and reminisces about her brother who fell from it.
I thought she was holding a candle. It doesn't look like
I think she was just kind of like thinking about, hey, like what will this signal to who? But
who's gonna say this?
But then she's intercepted by Miranda, who starts complimenting her dress and house, and says, it's like, yeah, no, I made it. And she's like, who? Oh, let me see. And she like gets really touchy-feely with her. And it's she's gross. Like, oh, who taught you? And then Sansa like pulls away and she's like, my mom, my dead mother because of your master. You remember that? And she's like, oh, well, there's always memories. And of course, there's the other thing that I have hidden away in the kennels. And so she, of course, takes her to the kennels, which we all know is where Theon sleeps. And so Sansa goes past all of these hungry hounds. And then at the very end is Theon. And Theon is afraid of Sansa. And Sansa's like, what the fuck, dude? What? What are you doing here?
She's got mixed emotions because she hates his fucking guts. But
it's a familiar
also,
face, though.
yeah, but she is
he
also
kill her brothers. So
right, but yeah, you know, some part of her is afraid because it's like, how did this happen?
Like, right? Why are you like this? Like, who yes. did this to you? And I mean, yeah. I'm glad that you're like this, but who did this? And like, then exactly. So. Then later on, Theon is dressing Ramsay, and Ramsay makes him tell him about Sansa seeing Theon. Mm-hmm. Ramsay makes him think he'll hurt him, but ends up, quote-unquote, forgiving him. He's just going to humiliate him later and make it worse, and I think Theon knows that.
Well, right, it looked like he was going to do, like, some real damage to him, and he didn't.
Like, he said, like, get on your knees. Oh, hi, Aang. He said, get on your knees. Give me your hand. I'm like, oh, God. So I've been watching too much of The Boys to think otherwise. I was just like, oh, God, no. No. They're at dinner and Ramsay makes a toast for their wedding, but Sansa's the only one who doesn't drink.
She just puts her glass down, and you can tell Ramsay's pissed. He wants to do something about it, but he doesn't because Daddy's there.
Well, also Walda, who is Lady Bolton, she mentions, oh, this must be such a strange place for you, Sansa. And Sansa's like, this is my home. It's the people who are strange. And there's such an awkward silence after that. And I'm just like, girl, do you know where we are? And do you know who she is? She grew up here, you stupid bitch. Why would you say that? It's not much has changed other than the people living there.
This performance by Sophie Turner in these next few episodes, this one included, is excellent. So
I will say, though, they use the line, this is my home, a little too often. She's like, this is my home. And I'm just like, okay, all right, let me know.
Yeah, but whatever. So the rest of the conversation is basically Ramsay trying to torture both her and Theon in the same conversation. So Theon
is easy to do.
Right. So Theon comes in to serve them, and he rambles on about how Theon killed her brothers. And you can see, like, she's just trying to hold it together, like, not, you know, I mean, there's one tear that goes down her face, but he makes Theon apologize. And I'm thinking to myself, are you gonna make your daddy apologize for killing her other brother and her mother?
That would be funny if he tried to make him do that. That would be hilarious. That. It's like, and father, what would you like to say?
Really, and, you know, the way this conversation is going is so deranged, it's possible, right?
Like, yeah, no, I think that's where, like, Roose is having this intense stare down with Ramsay of, like, are you going to make everyone apologize? I'm not going to fucking apologize for killing her brother. And
this is going to end badly for everyone. What are you fucking doing?
He also tells her, Ramsay tells her about how he's Reek now and he's Theon, not Theon anymore. And he makes Theon apologize, right? And then there's just this very awkward, intense silence. And then Ramsay's kind of just looking around, and then he just stops and is like, okay, that's it. Oh, doesn't everybody feel better? I certainly feel better. Oh, that was getting very tense. I'm just like, Jesus, man, what the fuck?
Well, right. And then he's like, I'm a toast to our wedding. And oh, Theon, you should give Sansa away. You're the nearest thing to a relative she has. And she's like,
oh my God. Honestly, let's kind of go through that. Her father's dead. Her mother's dead. Her older brother is dead. Her younger brothers are presumed dead. Arya, God knows where she is. And Jon is up fucked off in the north. So yeah, honestly, Theon is closest.
But Theon kills him, I mean, at least in her mind, and what he apologized for, it, which makes you think that it actually happened. Or
I think that's what Ramsay wants. He wants her to keep hating him, because then if she takes pity on him, somehow they'll form an alliance of some kind, and she'll break him out of that kind of reverie that he has, like, or that control he has over him. So, yes. I mean, I don't know what, I mean, I know what's stopping Theon from telling her about it, because he knows that it's going to get back to Ramsay if he does. Anyway, then Lady Bolton has a great announcement to make. Hey, I'm pregnant, and the maester thinks it's going to be a boy. And Ramsay's immediately like, fuck me, the legitimate child is coming. God damn it.
Well, and Sansa's, you see this little smile on her face, like, yeah.
It's great. It's great. It threatens Ramsay's position in the family, and if he's going to actually inherit Winterfell and Dreadfort and whatever. Ramsay's feeling insecure and talks to Roose about it. What?
I love this conversation with him and Roose. So, okay. So he's talking to Roose about it, and Roose is really pissed at Ramsay. And so he decides he's going to tell Ramsay about his mother.
It's a horrible story.
It is horrible. So it's the Miller's wife. They got married without Roose's permission. I mean, it's a little brave.
She got married to another person without Roose's permission.
Right. So the woman, he kills the husband, who's the Miller, and rapes her under the tree while the body is swinging.
It's ridiculous. It seems like some shit he would do.
Right. And then a year later,
we always think that Ramsay is the most like perverse and just awful, but honestly, Roose, Jesus Christ, he got it from somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So Roose then says that the mother showed up a year later and you know, said that this was his child, and he nearly had the child thrown in a river and saw him and realized, hey, that's my boy. And then he says, hey,
that's my boy. Had he flayed someone before as a baby?
Yeah, probably. So he tells Ramsay, look, Stannis is coming. I need for you to help me defend the North and defeat him, because he's going to be coming straight through Winterfell. Yeah. And that's pretty much the episode. Yeah.
Okay. Best parts. Dragons. I mean, it's nice to see them. John, I like him making the decision to help and not to be holed up in the Castle Black and doing nothing to help. Like, I mean, he has a very strong argument for doing what he's doing. Obviously, decades and eons of prejudice are clouding people's visions, but obviously he has his head on straight, and so that's nice to see. Missandei and Grey Worm, it took a stabbing, but they finally kissed. And a death. Maester Aemon, I like Maester Aemon. I think that he's cool, and him giving the pep talk and being like, I don't even know what the decision is, but go for it. And Davos, he has a really sweet moment with Shireen, and Sansa.
Yeah. So I've got Tyrion and Jorah. I like them together. John, obviously. Maester Aemon, Sansa, Brienne, I love in this. Grey Worm and Missandei, but mostly Grey Worm. And Davos and Shireen. I love Davos and Shireen here. What were their worst parts for you?
Miranda, Ramsay, Roose, Jorah getting grayscale, Dany for making a stupid fucking decision, and Gilly for whining about how stupid she is because she's so fucking stupid.
I did not include Gilly, but other than that, yeah.
Shame on you.
Yeah. Okay, those are my worst parts too. What grade did you give this episode?
I don't know. It's either a B or a B minus for me. Maybe a B minus. I think that it's such a, I don't know, not much happened. It was a lot of talking about things that are going to happen. And I mean, there was that attack with the stone men. I keep wanting to say like the gray people, like, but I think
it's very exciting.
Seconds, but sure. I'm giving it a B minus. Dad told me to be firm in my beliefs, B minus.
Yeah, no, your father, our other listener.
actually told me that we need to be firmer as well. I gave this a B, and I feel Ooh, like
I'm kidding.
I feel like the reason that it is a B for me is that there are some visual things that are really evocative in this episode, like seeing old Valyria. It's got that kind of Roman ruin, but a little bit like a little bit, you know, it's really very cool. I think so much of it is Jorah, Ian Glenn does a fabulous job with just all of that stuff. I did like seeing Drogon, and that effect of seeing Tyrion see Drogon for the first time, I thought was really, really cool.
Going forward, a lot of people are seeing dragons for the first time. So
right, but I really, really love to Jon. I feel like where he is, he's like this kind of firmly rooted Ned type character now that you really root for. And I love that. I love having that again because, you know, it's been a while.
Okay. All right. We still have another episode to go. So season 5, episode 6, Unbowed, Unbent, Unbroken. Unbowed, Unbent, Unbroken. Unbowed, Unbent, Unbroken.
There you go. Well done.
You doubted me. So the sections are Winterfell. We're saving that one for last. Or should we? Yeah, we should.
Yes.
King's Landing. King's Landing we can do pretty early. Actually, no, Bravos is first. Let me tell you the sections and then we'll get to them. Winterfell, King's Landing, Dorne, Bravos, and Road.
You didn't
we can do
both?
Bravos, then Road. Are you
calling that Road?
Yeah, because they're not in a boat anymore.
Oh, whatever.
We don't know where the fuck they are.
Neither do they.
Neither do they. Do you want to do, actually, let's do Road, Bravos, Dorne, King. Let's just do reverse order. We should All do right. Road, Bravos, Dorne, King's Landing, then Winterfell.
Okay, and I'm going to have to, at some point, you know, feed the kitty. So
I'll just start talking.
Okay, but it's we've got 15 minutes. So, all right, so Tyrion and Jorah are talking. He finally asked
Your notes are so descriptive, Mom.
Jorah finally asked Tyrion why he's here, and Tyrion explains about killing his dad, and says that he had met Jorah's dad and he was a good Lord Commander, and breaks the news unintentionally.
Hey, by the way, your dad's dead.
And Jorah's like, oh shit. And what happened? And he's like, he was killed in the mutiny. Oh shit.
That's like the worst way he could have possibly gone.
And so Tyrion asks why Jorah is with Daenerys. And Jorah's kind of like, I saw her go into a fire and come out with dragons. So
it's a party trick, dude. It's one thing she can do. I mean, yes, that would change your like perception a little bit, like especially after seeing the dragons. But I don't think that it's that important. I mean, it's kind of impressive, but after you see it the first time, I mean, it loses its luster a bit.
But Tyrion's still all about, ooh, dragons. But I love what Tyrion does with it. She's like, all right, let's say you get what you want. You take... I know. The enemy combatant dwarf.
Let me find it. Oh my god, where's Road?
I don't know. See, you talk about my notes. Your notes are messed up too.
It's different, Mom.
So he's like, let's say you get what you want. Let's say that you take me to Daenerys. Because he also points out that the Targaryens are mostly crazy and you're wanting me to get behind this woman whose dad wanted to burn everybody.
I see what happened. I called it Marine. That's what happened.
So it's not Marine.
I called it Road and then Marine for no reason. Sorry, okay. Go ahead.
And he's like, let's just say she's ecstatic when you bring this enemy dwarf to her and she welcomes you back into the fold. And she finally, and he's like, well, look, they freed some slaves. Jorah's kind of like, well, they freed slaves. And she's like,
Can I please say the quote?
Please go ahead.
If you go over to Westeros and you take over the kingdom, and now she's the queen of Westeros, a woman who hasn't spent a day of her adult life in Westeros gets to rule Westeros, that's justice? Fucking exactly. That makes no sense.
Dialogue is fabulous. So, and
Tyrion's like, going to just
He also talks about let's say she rules the world. What then? She doesn't know how to govern anybody.
It's like the Rob and Talisa talk from when they first meet. When I didn't really like Talisa all that much, but I mean she brought up a good point of, hey, what happens after you this rebellion thing? Like, what are you gonna do? And it's like, I don't know, fuck off back to the north. I don't know. Yeah. The problem is you don't have a plan. Like, you can't rule over Westeros the way you're ruling over Meereen. And also there are way more people in Westeros who can rise up against you. They're not going to look fondly. I mean, I'm sure it took Robert a while for people to start looking fondly on him as a ruler. But also the person that he dethroned was a crazy person who was trying to kill everybody. So he had a better stance. You're overthrowing a child. So I don't know if it's going to look as good if it's not a good look.
Yeah, it's not a good look. And of course, you know, Tommen has legitimacy issues, but
it's hearsay.
He's not a nut job. He is not. I mean, Cersei is, and she's the real power.
If you're overthrowing Joffrey, sure, but you're overthrowing a sweet little guy named Tommen, who just kind of wants everyone to be happy. And yes, he's a doormat, and yes, he's being taken over by the Faith. But we all go through phases.
That's its own issue that we're going to get to in a minute, but. But he's like, let's just say that happens. Yeah, what then? She doesn't know what the fuck she's doing. And as they're having,
she doesn't even know how to rule a single city.
Right. So because she doesn't have any idea with what a governmental structure is. But in any case,
well, she thinks it's a dictatorship.
As they're having this conversation, they see a slave ship. And they're like, oh, you know, I guess maybe they're just here to get water. And as they're doing that, they get captured. Both Jorah and Tyrion are captured.
Again.
Discussion about what they can do with them. They figure they can sell Jorah to, you know, like be a rower or something, you know, all Ben-Hur like.
I knew you were going to bring up freaking Ben-Hur.
They had to have closure.
Ramming speed.
Right. Boom, 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 boom. They're like, oh, the dwarf is useless. Just kill him and cut his cock off because a dwarf's cock is lucky.
I don't know how that's true.
I love Tyrion's lines here. He's like, no, they have to see that it's cut off of a dwarf. And they're like, oh, it'll be dwarf size. And he's like, wrong
guess again. Tyrion talks up Jorah as a good fighter for the fighting pits that have just opened up, even though they're supposed to only be free men. Of course they're not going to abide by those rules. That's because they can get around it. They can be like, hey, this guy's free, aren't you? And he's like, yeah, I'm free. And it's like, okay. That's the only line of defense. One guy asking, hey, you free? So it's not good, Daenerys, you fucking suck at this. Anyway, Tyrion's like, hey, we're a package deal, just take me with you, and Jorah will be an awesome fighter. He took on Jaime Lannister
they wrote songs.
Then Jorah's like, I killed a blood rider of Khal Drogo's Khalasar in single combat, on one-on-one combat, and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, sure.
Okay, well,
I mean, you're old, but I mean, we'll take you.
Because they even said, what is he, 60? Yeah. Damn.
Wow, okay. Let's go to Braavos.
Yeah,
Arya's washing dead bodies, as you do, and then the body gets taken away through a different door, and Arya tries to go and peek through the door, but she gets stopped by the Waif because the Waif is a bitch and hates curiosity. The Waif says she will learn when it is time for her to learn and not after. Not before. I'm not even drunk. I don't know.
I'm the one who's drinking here.
Shut up. Arya asks who the waif is, and the waif tells a crazy story about her stepmother trying to kill her. And in the end, she just is like, hey, was that the truth or was it a fucking lie? And then Arya's like, what?
Yeah, so like Arya, like,
I'm just really good at fucking lying. And so then Jaqen shows up in Arya's room in the middle of the night and starts to play the game of faces with her. He's just like, hey, who are you? And then she's like, I'm Arya Stark. And she starts telling her story, but adding in little details that are incorrect or in their lies. Like little things like, hey, the first guy I killed, I stabbed in the back. And that's not true. She stabbed him in the gut. And of course, Jaqen knows this somehow. And so he just keeps hitting her every time she's telling a lie. It gets to the point where she says, oh, well, I was taken by the Hound in to like be bartered off to my relatives, and I hated him. And then he hits her and is like, that's a lie. You didn't hate him. Yeah. You left it. And I'm like, she's like, I left him for dead. I hated him. It's like, nope. Yeah. You loved him.
Yeah.
And he loved you, and you didn't say it, but you had an understanding with him, and that's why you couldn't kill him. It's sweet. It's nice to know that she did actually care about him.
Yeah. And he says, you have to truly want to be no one. And we never, and she's like, I don't want to play this game anymore. He's like, we never stop playing the game. The game.
Then later on, Arya has been demoted to washing floors again. A man comes in with his young daughter and he asks for Arya's help because he's been to every healer in Braavos. He has spent all of his money. He just wants to end his daughter's pain. And the Arya goes up to the little girl who's been placed near the fountain. It's honestly the fountain and like the little cup thing, it's giving Half-Blood Prince.
It does.
And it does. So I was like, what would you expect to happen after taking this fucking potion? Anyway, and so Arya, just hold your wand over it. Anyway, so Arya is talking to the little girl. She's telling this cock and bull story about how she was sick once too, and my father loved me as much as your father did, which is true. But he took her there and she got healed. And so she convinces the little girl to take the water. And the Jaqen is watching from afar. And then later on, she's cleaning the poor little girl's body. And I hate that. That is so sad. I hate it so much. And obviously, the man must have known something about, like, what they would do here. But I think that he was assuming it would end her suffering, but it wouldn't, I don't know, kill her. I don't know what he expected. And regardless, it's very sad. It made me very, very sad. I don't know why. It just really did. Then Arya is now allowed through the door after washing the body. Jaqen lets her through the door. And she goes down to the depths. Yeah, down. I was about to say down to the depths of hell. And it's giving
warm.
Phantom of the Opera.
It does, but it's like there. You can see people like going through hallways off to the sides. There are these interesting candle setups. It's
Phantom of the Opera. It's amazing that there wasn't a fucking lake. Anyway, no, mom, stop.
Sorry.
So it follows Jaqen into this library with like wall to wall with tons of people's like sliced off faces, and just so it's like a catalog of, yeah. Hey, it's like the Dewey Decimal System. Do you want like Denise? Yeah, I got her face right here. It's just like, you got, I don't know what the organizational structure is, but it doesn't really matter what you're calling the faces. You can come up with a fake name, but I just thought it was funny if they had a system. Anyway, I'm sure
there is a system, but it's hard to say what the system is.
I'm not sure. And so Jaqen asks if she's ready to give everything up to become no one, and he's like, and he answers before she can. He's like, no, you're not ready, but you are ready to become somebody else, so you can like put a face on or something. I don't know what the difference is between doing that and being no one, but
well, we're gonna find out because that's gonna happen in episodes
whatever. Dorne.
All right. Dorne. Marcella and Tristan kissing.
I like Tristan. Tristan's cool.
K-I-S-S-I-N-G. So what he wants to marry her. What?
Nothing. Go ahead. I like Tristan. That's all I'll say.
Oh, I do too. They're both very cute. And they're very cute together. He wants to marry her.
I don't love Marcella. She's just a little too mousy for me. But I like Tristan for like helping her gain confidence and just being like, hey, we're getting married anyway. Let's make out in the corner over there. And she's just like, no, we can't. I don't love Marcella. I love her dress. I don't love Marcella, though. But she's fine. She's just vanilla and she does nothing. It's like a Princess Buttercup situation where I love Wesley a lot, but then Buttercup's just so vanilla. It's just
she's a little like Fleur de la Cour too, you know. It's like,
no, Fleur at least had the decency to fight a fucking dragon. It's not like, I mean, she at least did that. I cannot say the same for Marcella.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, all right, so We've got them and Prince Doran. We see him talking to his guard about protecting them. Braun is singing as he and Jamie ride.
He has a good voice.
He does. As they ride up to the Water Gardens, which is where Prince Doran and Marcella and Tristan are staying, and Braun's like, "So what's the plan?" And Jamie's like, "Ah, I gotta improvise."
That's how you got the golden hand, huh? It's funny. Basically what happens is the sands are talking about, hey, we're gonna do this for we're doing this for Oberyn, even though he died in a ritualistic trial by combat that he chose to be a part of, whatever. Anyway, that was always going to be an option. Anyway, so then Ilaria and the Sand Snakes launch an attack on Marcella just as Jamie and Braun go into the Water Gardens to get her. They're dressed as Dornish soldiers, and so they come up and see that she's making out with Tristan in the corner of the gardens, and Bron's like, wow, she made herself at home. And then they go up to talk to her. She recognizes Jamie, is like, hey, what the fuck are you doing here? And then he's just like, hey, can we talk in private? Tristan's pretty apprehensive about letting that happen because he doesn't really trust them. And then Braun just knocks Tristan out like with one punch. And then the Sand Snakes show up and fight Jamie. The Sand Snakes show up and fight Jamie and Braun while Marcella does nothing and then just gets dragged away. She's guarding Tristan's body that's already knocked out. Like, that's gonna do anything? He's not gonna just come to. And also, if he did come to, he's not really useful in this fight. He got knocked out by one single fucking punch. I would love it if Marcella had like grabbed Tristan's sword that he was about to unsheath on Braun and Jamie, grab that and try to defend herself a little bit. I mean, not necessarily go in on the fray, but if someone comes near her, try to like, hey, slice them. And then like one of the girls, but of course this is fucking Marcella. So one of the Sand Snakes comes up and is just like, hey, come with me. And she's like, I don't want to. And then she's like, I'm not asking, princess. And she just lets herself get dragged away. I'm just like, you're not even trying to fight. You can use that big ass dress to your advantage. Slow them down. Like, you're not trying. Something. Anyway, Braun also gets scratched by one of the swords. He's fighting the youngest, who we think is probably Ilaria's daughter. Mm-hmm. But this is all just conjecture. But this is subtext. It's not necessarily explicitly stated. Either way, they're about to keep fighting, but then the Dornish soldiers show up and prevent any more harm to be happening. I don't know why I said it like that.
Yeah, they do.
And then, they save Marcella and all that stuff. And then also Ilaria, who's just in her house or whatever she's doing, is also cornered and she's shocked. I was like, what the fuck did you expect to happen? Especially if you got away with it. If you got away with, like, also, why weren't you just going to kill, well, I guess they wanted to kill Marcel bit by bit and make it, like, torture or something. But either way, like, you're just taking her away and, like, where are you going to go? Like, it just, there didn't seem to be a really good
plan
laid out. And then, like, these like soldiers show up and Ilaria's all surprised, and I'm like, you should have expected that. That's kind of what was going to happen. Like, I don't know. I think it's kind of stupid.
I agree. But yeah, she did not have a plan. I love though that when they get arrested, like Bronn's taunting the girls. Oh, you did a pretty good job for a girl.
Yeah, especially the young girl.
And I also love that the guards recognize Jamie. Like, yeah, oh, this would have been a fairer fight back in the day
if you had your other hand.
Yeah, I love that. I really do.
Right, King's Landing. So,
where are we going?
King's Landing.
Okay. All right, so we've got Lancel. And Littlefinger has arrived back at the capital. It's amazing how quickly people move around that are unimportant.
We've unlocked fast travel.
Yeah, I guess.
He was in Winterfell, and it took 3 episodes or 2 episodes to get to King's Landing last time from Winterfell to King's Landing. But no, it takes a single, like, half an episode.
Yeah, well, and, you know, honestly, they described, like, going from King's Landing to the Wall.
It's 1,000 miles.
Yeah. And
did you find a dragon and just fly? Like, what was this?
I think so, but so
what magic is
Littlefinger has arrived. And Lancel confronts him as he comes into the city, and he's basically like, "Look, Littlefinger, we don't like your kind around here." And Littlefinger's like, "I'm on a mission from the Queen Cersei or Queen
Mother." Not from God.
Clearly not. Lancel's on a mission from God. And so,
unless you're asking Cersei, and then it's God.
Yeah, and Lancel's like, okay, fine, but he's like, you know, we are wanting a better world, and Littlefinger's like, my fantasies are more interesting than yours. I do love that line.
Fantasies I create are more interesting.
Yeah, so Cersei and Littlefinger talk about Lysa's death and whether the Vale is going to be loyal to the crown, and Littlefinger's like, I've always counseled people to be loyal to the crown. It's like he just lies to people's faces without even thinking about it,
and very elaborately too.
But this is where you really see what his plan is. He's like, look, Sansa is at Winterfell, and it of course sets Cersei off, because Cersei's like, look, I'm gonna kill Roose Bolton, I'm gonna skin him alive for, you know, making this alliance with Sansa. She's evil, she's bad. She says that she wants to, what Littlefinger advises her to do is like, look, Stannis is coming. He's going to fight the Boltons. Whoever is left, I will help you with my
people. I'll get the Vale. I'll clean up the mess.
And whoever's left at Winterfell, I will turn them over to you, because I can't wait until there's a lion flag flying from Winterfell.
And also want to be named Warden of the North.
Right. But Cersei's response is, I'll believe it when I see Sansa's head in a spike.
Fair enough, but still.
You see that this was Littlefinger's plan all along, is that he just wants to, like, take over large swaths of land. Huge tracts of land! Exactly.
Later on, Olenna has arrived in the city, and she talks to Margaery about Loras, and how obviously it's Cersei's idea. I'm gonna go talk to her and try to get to the bottom of this, even though you know why and you know who. So what is to get, why are you trying to get to the bottom of anything? You know what happened. But anyway, see, she talks to Cersei. She's getting the Tywin treatment of, like, she's ignoring her by writing down random stuff. She's like, I know you're not writing anything down. And then she says this amazing line of, Cersei says, the famous tart-tongued queen of thorns. And then Olenna says, and the famous tart, Cersei Lannister.
I love that exchange. That's really good. I love that so much.
And then Olenna threatens to withdraw the alliance. Cersei's like, no. She wants her cake and eat it too. It's ridiculous. Cersei, you're not going to have a fucking really beneficial alliance with these people you're trying to fuck over. It's not going to happen. And Olenna makes a point of saying, hey, Tywin knew when to put like lay down the hatchet and bear the hatchet and just even like make alliances with their with your rivals. And Cersei's just so hot-headed, and it's like the Lannisters have no rivals, and I'm just like, that's not fucking true, and you know it. Anyway, there will be a hearing to see if the charges on Loras have merit. Obviously they do, but we're not going to talk about that. They have the hearing.
Cersei knows. She's like, oh, and I'm sure he'll just be the set freeze. It'll be no problem. So then we go to the hearing. And the hearing is not going as expected. So Lancel denies all the charges under oath. The Faith call Marjorie. And of course, they know all this stuff, right? So they call Marjorie, and Marjorie's like, oh, no, I've never seen my brother do anything crazy, you know, or have sex with a guy. And she says under oath that Loras is innocent. And then they bring in the man whore.
Oliver.
And so man whore testifies about having sex with Loras.
Saying and Marjorie came in and witnessed and it.
This is so well acted. Cersei's kind of like, oh, this has got to be a false charge against
it's such a half-assed objection. It's so funny. There has to be better evidence than that. And then Oliver just is like, yeah, no, he has a birthmark in the shape of Dorne way up on his thigh. And and then Loras like goes to like kill him or whatever he's planning on doing once he got to him, but he's held back.
The High Sparrow's response to all of this is, hey, we've got enough evidence to prosecute him and Queen Marjorie.
Yeah, because you fucking lied, Marjorie. Obviously, yeah. You're going to do that for your brother, but you should have known there were plenty of people he's fucked in the Capitol. Like, yeah. This is not, like, what?
Not a secret. Not a secret.
And she's like, Tommen, do something. And Tommen's like, what the fuck can I do? Like, what? And she wanted her position as queen to be able to be leveraged to make sure that she wouldn't have to testify, but the Faith is like, well, kings and queens can be compelled to testify. Like, it's not, your position means nothing here. Anyway, so yeah, there will be a trial for both of them. I suppose it's time for Winterfell. Miranda comes up and bathes Sansa and strips the color from her hair, and she's being very passive aggressive. She's giving her quote-unquote advice about making sure Sansa's not boring to Ramsay, and she kind of tells her in a roundabout way of what he does with the people who bore him. There was that one girl who was too tall, there was one girl who was too chatty, and he led many hunts on both
the girl who was too nice.
Yeah. And then, like, he led hunts with the hounds. Have you ever seen a body after the hounds have gotten to them? Ooh, it's not a pretty sight. They weren't so pretty anymore. And then Sansa, like, she's like, how long have you been in love with Ramsay? And Miranda's like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, come on.
I'm just like, are you serious? You're so clear. And then Sansa turns around and she says, I'm Sansa Stark of Winterfell. This is my home. And she says it all. She always emphasizes home. And you can't frighten me, bitch. I wish she had a bitch, but I think it's a good line.
Right. She sends Miranda out, but you can see at that point, like she's like, oh my god, this is horrible.
What half god rot?
and so Sansa gets dressed for her wedding. She looks amazing. Costume people. Oh my god, they're just incredible. So she has this beautiful wedding gown with the fur stole. Theon comes to get her, to escort her. They have a discussion about Ramsay's expectations of, oh, you can't hold my arm. And Sansa's like, I'm not fucking touching you.
He's like, but he'll punish me if you don't. She's like, I don't care what he does to you.
Yeah. But she's led down this beautiful, there are all these lanterns in the godswood leading to the big weirwood tree that's
kind of giving Outlander a bit.
I felt it was a little bit better. But it's
beautiful. No, it's better. Well, oh, I would say it was better, but I know who these people are.
I think it's better in multiple ways, including that this probably came first. So it is really
beautiful. I think, Mom, I'm not saying one's ripping off the other. I'm just saying that
yeah,
it's a similar
So they have this very formal exchange. Theon gives her in marriage. Roose gets her, or Ramsay steps up, and Sansa hesitates to agree to the marriage. I mean, everyone's got like holding their breath to see whether she's going to actually do it, but she agrees. But Ramsay's clearly thrilled about it. And after the wedding, he takes Sansa to his room and asks in front of Theon whether she's a virgin, and says she should be honest. It's really important to be honest, blah, blah, blah. He kisses her and he tells her to take off her clothes. And he says he's going to make Theon watch because Theon's like heading out the door. So Theon shuts the door and he's trying to look away. He's like, no, you've got to watch. You knew her as a child. You need to watch her as she becomes a woman. And he rips her open. Yeah, he rips her dress open.
And essentially rapes her.
Yeah. And it's clearly painful. We get to hear it. And he's got her bent over the bed. It is really, really horrible. And Theon's crying. And this performance by Theon, by Alfie Allen, is just
that's great.
Heartbreaking on so many levels. Because he's conflicted about a lot of things. Some part of him wants to intervene and stop it. You can see all of it on his face. It's really pretty amazing. Yeah. But it's violent and painful. And that's Sansa's world.
The end of the episode. All right, what are your best parts?
My best parts, first and foremost, the set dressers and the costumers, really pretty amazing. Sansa, I think the performance by Sophie Turner is amazing. Theon, I think his performance is really incredible. I love Arya in this. Tyrion and Jorah.
Arya in this? She kills a child.
I feel like her performance and her her understanding of what's expected of her. In this context, I mean, it's kind of like a mercy killing, at least in this, I don't know, whatever. So I love Tyrion and Jorah. Olenna, I think, is great. Bronn, I love. And that Dornish guard guy, I really like him too. So those are my best parts.
Mine are Tyrion, Sansa standing up to Miranda. Olenna, Tristan, I like a lot. He has charisma. I don't think that Marcella has as much charisma. I think, obviously, this is the child actress grown up. But, I'm not saying she's a bad actress. I just think that he has more charisma than her. And, again, she's kind of written boringly, so it's not very helpful. And also Bronn. I think the performances are also really good in this.
Yeah, I do too.
What are your worst parts?
Cersei, oh my god. Littlefinger, the man whore, Loras for being a liar, and of course, to some extent, Margaery, although hers is more expected. Miranda, oh my god. Roose, and all caps, Ramsay.
Mine were boring, no one BS. The poor little girl. Like, I felt so bad for that little girl. I really did. I don't know why I got so emotionally attached to this one girl who had maybe two lines, but I really did feel bad for her and her father. Ramsay in all caps. Miranda. I had a note about Miranda. Miranda at the wedding, you have like this one like shot of her right before like they vows or some shit, or do you take this man or whatever, and goes to Miranda, and I wrote down Miranda has her rack on display in the snow to tempt Ramsay. such a deep V, and it was like so close to showing her entire like everything. Anyway, Ilaria being stupid, like what were you expecting to happen? And then she's just like, go my little pretties, go, we only have three people and we'll start an uprising and this will be worth it. I'm like, what? Like, what? Over what? He died in a trial by combat that he volunteered for. I don't understand why this is your plan. Anyway, Cersei, Loras, and Oliver, and Marcella for being so boring. What was your overall grade?
I gave this a B+. I feel like this episode really moves things forward. I really do. I feel like it tells so much of the story. A lot of the sands kind of lock into place, you know, as far as shifting things and whatever. And I feel like there's a lot of useful movement here as opposed to just like riding in a boat and talking. So I felt like this is a pretty good episode. So what did you give it?
C+. Everyone's so fucking dumb. I'm so upset. Like, especially in the Dorne section, everyone is so fucking stupid. It pisses me off. And I'm just so over it. Like, I'm over the sand stakes. I'm over Ilaria being a fucking dumbass and being like, oh my god, I got caught. How did that happen? It's like, how the fuck do you think? And also, did you think you would get away with it? Like, what, like, you would, if you, like, took Marcella, do you think someone wouldn't, like, figure that out? Also, were you just at your house? Like, you weren't in, like, a safe location? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I just hate it when criminals are just so fucking bad at being criminals in shows. Like, they're just so stupid.
They aren't thinking they're being criminals. They are being freedom fighters.
No, they have, like, 4 people on their side. It's them. Like, I don't...
Okay, like, so... I probably just throw this in there. The Dorne plot, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, in the books... is fucking interminable. You know this. I'm telling you this because there are characters you've never heard of that are part of it. The things that happen with Marcel are completely different. I mean, just like the whole, all the things with the princes and the sand snakes, everything is like almost completely different from what we have here.
I honestly think I had a problem with almost every section. Because Arya, it's just like, I think I just got too emotionally attached to that little girl and you her did. Father. And like, anyway, I just think that her going down this path and just being like, her having the same argument for weeks on end, she's been there for weeks, of just like, why can't I do stuff? And they're just like, no. That's the whole argument there. Now she's gonna get to do stuff and they'll pick up a little bit, but like, it took so fucking long to get there. Obviously you've heard all of my ranting about the Dorne plot. The Winterfell thing, I hate Miranda. I hate Ramsay for raping Sansa in front of Theon. Were they great performances? Yes, but it just is hard to watch. What else? The King's Landing, Cersei's just being the fucking dumbass, giving all of this power to this, like, these fanatics, and Cersei's thinking, oh yes, their sins have been put on display, I have nothing to fear. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You have some of the worst ones. Like, he's just gay, you fuck your brother.
There are a couple of things here, and the Cersei thing I probably should say, but there are things from the book here that I just want to point out, that things are very, very different in the book. Like, Jaime doesn't go to Dorne.
Good.
There's none at all. No Jaime going to Dorne. There is a guy who was a Kingsguard who was sent to Dorne who is not Jaime. Jaime, anyway. He's like off fighting in the Reach. There's a fight in the Arbor that involves ships.
Mom, we're not reading the books.
But my point, the thing I was getting at, is that Sansa is not at Winterfell. No one knows where the fuck Sansa is in the book. There is a girl that they think is
Arya, right? I know you mentioned that.
Right, that they're pretending is Arya, that is married to Ramsay and is violently raped and awful things happen to her. But we never get a sense that she's actually Arya. And so there's nothing, the whole Braavos thing, we don't hear any of this shit. None of the shit. It is
okay.
Completely different. And I feel like
how does this affect my grade, Mom? It doesn't.
I feel like your complaints are okay, but when I'm comparing it to the book, it's like, this is really way better than the book.
Mom, I haven't read the book. I don't have a fucking frame of reference. I can only base, it's like Bridgerton season 2 all over again. I don't have a frame of reference. At the time, I didn't. I have one now, and I agree the book is better. But I think that... I don't think I need to change my grade just to because you compared it to the books. I didn't read, like... 60 pages on boring Theon Ironborn bullshit. I didn't read 50 pages on the Dornish bullshit. I don't want to, and there's a reason why. I think that, again, the books shouldn't, like, They had all the opportunity in the world to make it more interesting. make Marcella more interesting so I care about her. Like, I don't care about her. And you wouldn't she's in the just books a fucking that... dumbass. And she right. just, you I don't care.
But the Sands, and, you know, they have, like, armies and stuff. I mean, it's a different...
The fight choreography is cool. That's it.
But in any case, I understand your complaints.
I was thinking a C, so C plus is generous.
Well, but I also think that when you first watched this, you saw this episode differently. And part of the reason part of the reason that I'm grading it highly is I feel really strongly that in the context of this show, this is a very important episode.
I wouldn't say it's that important. Okay. It's a transitory episode that needs to happen so that the next episode can happen. That's it. Like, it's not, I wouldn't say it's a capstone episode of similar to like a penultimate episode to a season. Like, if it's not that important.
No, this season is all about episode 8.
I think it's fair for you to say a B plus for you. I think it's a C plus. That's all I'll say. I'm not changing it for nobody. Dad, I'm following your instructions, even if you don't agree with me. I ever since, like, the Dorne subplot before was just boring to me. Now it just makes me angry because they're doing it for Oberyn, who essentially gave his own life just to, because he wanted to. He knew what would have happened if the mountain killed him. I mean, that's it. Like, I don't understand why they're so shocked by the results. Like, yeah, no, it sucks that he died. Absolutely. I just think that it's stupid to blame only the Lannisters for it.
Well, no, it's okay. So the rationale is the Lannisters killed the sister, which caused the revenge plot to begin with.
If you want to do that, stop saying it's just for Oberyn, though. Oberyn tried to get revenge on the one person he knew, like, killed his sister and her children, the Mountain. Obviously, he was controlled by the Lannisters. But I think that if you want, it's whatever. I don't.
Anyway.
Okay. Okay. They keep saying it's justice for Oberyn. It's not justice for Oberyn. Oberyn
no,
was
it's not
fucking
justice.
Stupid and was not. He got himself killed. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
All right. So. We've got, is it only two more episodes in this season? It's weird. Is this a weird
episode? It's four episodes.
It should be four episodes. Anyway, we've got episode one.
You just like looked around. It's like, was it?
Because I realized I normally check this on my iPad and recording on my iPad.
It's so four episodes, Mom.
Okay. So I will tell you episode 8 is the one I am looking the most forward to. I know episode 10 is important.
I'm going to say for episode 8 is it's not only that subplot.
Okay. In any case, we are looking forward to sharing our comments and thoughts on this. And we hope that you join us. And
cheers.